Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. When did cheap plastic disposables with 90s-style graffiti art become the norm? No offense if gaudy pastel is your style, but the Flonk Max Smart embodies a smarter way to vape. The Flonk is sleek and discreet, and the most popular flavors are available nicotine-free and in 2% and 5% strength. A flexible disposable with a smart LED screen, the Flonk churns out 10,000 dense and delicious puffs. Visit MyPod.com and use promo code STOOL for 25% off Flonk vapes.
Reveille, reveille, reveille!
Welcome back to another edition of Zero Blog 30. I'm your host, Kate, today, because Chaps is still joining us, but he's in a hotel in D.C. The internet's a little wobbly down there. That's all right. And we got Captain Cons. I see palm trees behind him. Are you down in Florida, buddy? Is that what's going on?
Indeed, I am down here in beautiful, sunny Florida. It's a little hot, so I'm certainly sweating right now. Which is never great. It's not for anybody, but I'm enjoying my time nonetheless.
Yeah, and big trip for Chap so far. It's Vets Storm the Hill week, right? Like, there's just veterans all over Capitol Hill in D.C. right now. And so you're in the mix. You're wagging your tail all over everybody. You sat next to, on the plane on the way here, former Representative Adam Kinzinger. What are the odds of that happening? So how's it been so far?
Well, it's been good. Like, I'll say whenever I got on the plane in Houston, I was walking in and I saw somebody. I was like, damn, that dude looks just like Kinzinger. And then I got closer and I was like, no, it can't be. And then he saw me and I saw him and we both kind of smiled. So it was very obvious it was him. And not just on the same plane, but like seat buddies. He was
right next to each other. Yeah.
What are the odds of that happening?
Well, what was he doing normal? In Houston? Why would he ever be in Houston? I mean, there's a million reasons, but what was he doing in Houston?
He lives pretty close to there. He has a house down that way too.
Oh, I didn't know that. Also, rodeo week. Pat was just down there doing rodeo stuff, so you never know. Yeah. But also, you got to interview this morning, as you say at the end of the show, might come out on the following episode, but you got to go to the home of the Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps. Is that correct?
Yeah. So last night, I'll kind of do a run through what I've been so far. Getting off the plane and coming here, it was so apparent what week it was because everybody was wearing
the little veteran hats.
Yeah. And Hans is right here.
Oh, wow.
Jersey. They gave that to me. And I got the Texas one.
Hell yeah.
And then Katie has the Pennsylvania one.
Oh, so hell. I thought it was going to have a little vagina on it. That's great.
They gave us a little life member badge. It was really cool. So seeing all the people that were clearly here because they care about veterans was awesome. Like coming in the hotel and hanging out with everybody. And then this morning, I was kind of nervous last night. And like you guys, I don't get nervous for a whole lot of interviews. Like it doesn't really matter to me who it is. There's been a couple. I was very nervous with Charlie Plum, who spent 6.5 years in Hanoi. Robert Sweat, who got shot down by the Nazis and was in a war camp too. Those are the ones that I get nervous for. But this one was a different type of nervous. And I was talking to my wife and I was like, I don't understand why I'm so nervous. I've been out for a long time now. Why does it make a difference? And then this morning, I was getting ready to go. I woke up way early. Usually I wake up like 15, 30 minutes before I have to leave somewhere because it doesn't take me that long. I was up like an hour and a half early going through all my notes to make sure everything was going good. And then I had an absolute debacle. Cons, this is what I was texting you about, pal.
Yeah, what happened?
So I went and I don't like being a fancy boy. I don't have a whole lot of jackets. I don't have a whole lot of coats. So I knew I was going to be up here. I only have like two. One of them has flowers all over it and the other one's blue. So we went to the mall to get another suit. I didn't have time to do tailor and all that shit. So I get it off the rack and shockingly, it fits me damn near perfect. Like even if you had to go to the tailor, there wouldn't be a whole lot that they can do. Well, I was very excited because I'm normally not a good dresser. I had awesome outfits planned all week. And wouldn't you know, this morning I cut the little thing off in the back of the tails of the coat. No. It must have increased it 5 sizes. I went from being so snug to feeling like I was a little kid wearing my dad's jacket.
Yeah.
And I obviously the jacket's the last thing you put on, like before you're going out. I have to leave the hotel in at least 10 minutes to get to the Sergeant Major's house on time because DC traffic and all that stuff. I look in the mirror and I'm like, I can't go like this. Like the Sergeant Major.
It would have looked more like a Sunday conversation. You would have been Caleb Presley in the big suit. We could have got the
That's exactly what it was like. Hold on. I'm in my underwear, but I'll go pick it. Hold on.
Right. Chaps is running across his hotel room. He's low walking, smooth as fast, slow as smooth, smooth as fast. He's in the hotel room closet. He's running back. He's putting the jacket on. It's a lovely silver color. Okay.
Look at this shit. Cons?
Oh, it looks fine.
No, it doesn't. Cons, talk cons. So you go back on my screen.
That's, oh man, he's swimming in that thing. That's,
oh yeah, okay.
Oh, you know what and that before? Reminds me of? That reminds me of in the movie Crazy Stupid Love when he goes up to Steve Carell and he's like, you've been wearing a 44 when you should be wearing a 42 regular. Yeah, that jacket it's just
and there is something about an ill-fitting suit that makes me feel like people are sleazy. I'll say it.
Yeah.
I feel like you're selling me a bad car, selling me a lemon.
Yeah. I felt like I worked at Aaron's Rental Center this morning. I was like, I just got to get out of here. Well, anyway, I changed clothes real fast. But because I was so flustered in my brain and trying to change so fast, I was sweaty as fuck.
Oh, that's the worst.
Going outside and it was 30 degrees or 40 degrees this morning here. I'm still sweaty. And in my mind, I know I have to wear this jacket now every day because the other one's the exact same size because they all thought it. I was like, I'm sweaty. I'm going to have sweat stains all week. I might be late. And you guys know how much I hate being late.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I get there and I have to I really try to calm myself.
Yep.
And I get into the Sergeant Major's house and first of all, it's very weird to go inside the Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps house.
Yes. Uh-huh. Right.
Like just walking
in. Top of the list of houses you never thought in your life you'd walk into.
If as a Marine, I had to go in there as like a Lance Corporal, I would have been shaking like a leaf. Like I'm going to knock something over. I'm going to fuck this up somehow. Yeah.
Right. And that I felt so bad because they have the guards, they have some MPs that are there too around. In that compound, the Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps, the Commandant, the Assistant Commandant, and a 3-star live right there near all those Marines. Could you imagine being a Lance Corporal or a PFC for the Army and walking through and seeing everybody on the highest level of your
chain of command? Yeah, that's a lot of rank in a condensed area, but I bet you'd have great block parties.
Yeah, are they allowed to put slip and slides in their yard?
No, but there was a moment where, you know, there was at the Commandant's house over to the side, they had this big circular tarp that was there tied down. And I go, Sergeant Major, that's not a pool, right? Like, it looks like a pool tarp. And he was like, no, that would be weird. I was like, yes, it would. But I wasn't sure. And I found out that the Commandant's house that was there on the property was originally built by Marines. Like the Commandant then ordered the Marines to go build it. And they did. And it's beautiful still. Like the things that they did, it just blew my mind. Another aspect, and I won't go through this when we actually have him on this story on the show. I didn't know that there were stables that originally 8th and I was stables. And I had no idea. And he told me in the summertime when it's real hot, 95, 100 degrees, you can still smell the shit because they put the concrete there. And he was like, people think I'm saying this for a joke. You can smell cow manure, horse manure, whenever you're going through. Like the things that I found out today blew my mind. Blew it.
That is pretty cool. I just imagine them saying at one point, all right, give me 6 Marines right damn now. Need me a house.
Yeah, build me a house right now. Somebody should better ship me a house right now.
Yeah, so that was really cool. And now it's obviously Monday. Tomorrow I'll really start going in through the legislative process and going over to the different congressional meetings. And I'm not going as like a host for ZBT or Barstool or anything like that. I'm just going as a veteran. And I'm not going to be even the talker in the group that I go with. I'm just really looking forward to that and being around veterans and trying to help veterans as just a veteran myself. I'm really looking forward to it.
I feel like it is easy to get disconnected. I was saying before on previous shows, I feel really dead. So I feel like that's a great way to like, oh yeah, get back to the roots of everything, which is awesome. But as for the rest of the show, we have two rounds today. Just going to kind of keep it quick because one of my news roundup items, I think, might take a little longer than the
other. Okay.
So first up, round number one, U.S. military folk are no stranger to wacky weddings, but this Florida wedding reception disaster truly takes the cake.
Nice. With cons in Florida, too. Very timely.
I know. Very apropos. I was looking at the photos from this news story looking for cons in the background, wondering if it was his fault.
Did you find him?
No, I didn't. Round number two, nearly 60 years after he was first nominated and after several decades of the Pentagon losing his paperwork, they lost his paperwork twice, one of the first Black soldiers in the Army Special Forces received the Medal of Honor. And it is a story worth hearing. Just an absolutely incredible story and an incredible man. So I felt like that was worth telling on the show. We'll just hop right into it. Yes, I would agree. All right, here we go with round number one.
Quality sleep optimizes recovery, helping professional and everyday athletes perform their best. Only the Sleep Number Smart Bed is proven to improve the quality of sleep and provides valuable insights that can be used to support overall wellness. Talent on a college team allows the best players to outperform their opponents, but in the NFL, everyone is talented. Players entering the draft need every competitive edge they can get, starting with quality sleep. Training will only get more intense as players transition to the pros, so to optimize recovery, they can rely on Sleep Number for consistent, high-quality sleep. Experience game-changing sleep with a Sleep Number smart bed only at a Sleep Number store.
A Florida couple's marriage got off to a rocky start when the owner of their reception venue ran into the reception hall with a gun and ordered everyone to get out. After an argument over the music. Apparently the bride had booked the place until 11:30 p.m., but it was getting towards the end of 10 o'clock, and this guy said, pew, pew, you need to get out.
I kind of like that move, honestly.
Well, the insane video posted by Jonathan Campo, the DJ and cousin of the bride. So this is the DJ Jonathan Campo. He's DJ and the cousin of the bride. Shows an irate man waving the weapon. I watched the video. This guy comes in like Yosemite Sam, and he's like, beep, 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 beep. He's yelling.
Looks like him too, almost.
On Thursday night at Cielo Farms in Southwest Ranches, he begins to wave his gun at everyone at the party, telling us to get out, adding that the mayhem erupted. It was during the last song of the night, like the very last song. The DJ said, and it turns out this was the owner of the venue who came running in with the gun. The DJ said that a worker at the venue ordered him to turn the music off over fears of a noise complaint and then spilled his drink all over the DJ equipment, even though he turned the music down.
Jeez. So,
and that's a worker at the venue. By this time, the entire wedding party is aware of what's going on. And moments later, the gun-wielding man, aka the owner of the venue, shows up and goes ballistic. Don't make me, don't make me, get out. The owner is heard screaming and terrifying footage as people flee. He was brandishing, the DJ said, he was just brandishing the gun everywhere at everybody. He put it in my uncle's face. He put it in my cousin. He put it in my cousin's face who got married. He put it in the bride's face. He put it at her head. And the image of that is insane. And he waved it at her husband's head. So, and this, for all they know, this is a loaded gun and they're all about to die at their wedding reception.
Yeah.
One woman is heard telling the unhinged man, I just want to grab my purse. Puts the gun right at her head. Crazy. I've been at some crazy Delco weddings where fights have broken out at the hotel afterwards. We got nothing on Florida. I'll tell you that.
I mean, it's kind of like that scene in Parks and Rec where they're like, undercooked fish, jail. Don't go to the dentist. Believe it or
not, jail. Yeah.
Don't get your purse from your wedding reception.
Jail.
Gun in your face.
The DJ said, before I knew it, I was staring down the barrel of his gun. And at that moment, when I saw his eyes, I was prepared to be killed. And I was coming to terms that my children were about to lose their dad for no reason.
Jeez.
Like, these people were like ready to die at their own wedding reception. The man with the gun has been identified as Miguel Rodriguez Abizu, age 58, who was charged with 9 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon without intent to kill. And I'm going to say this to Miguel, who owns the wedding reception. You might have a tough time booking other weddings now at this venue.
Might have hurt your business slightly. Right. I don't know.
Might have hurt
but at
your
least
business.
If they're going to throw a party in prison, you got a good person for it.
That's true. He'll be the one to be able to organize everything. It went from being like an amazing event you're going to remember for the rest of your life to an event you're going to remember for the rest of your life for the wrong reasons, he said. You're right. The bride and groom could probably sue for emotional distress. Like, this for sure is going to ruin your anniversary, right?
Yeah. But I will say, in the moment, it's terrible. How many years need to go by before you can kind of start goofing about it?
I think five.
That's what I was going to say. That's the exact number.
That's what five. I feel like. It's going to take 5 years for this. But
what do you
I
think,
mean,
Conch? How many years until he's over it?
Maybe never.
Because your wedding was in Florida. Imagine if this.
Yeah, imagine.
The band is going and the owner comes running out with a gun and is pointing at us. I cannot.
I have so many questions because it's not like, okay, your wedding reception ends and then in the blink of an eye, everyone's gone out of the venue. There's a little window there that you need to get everybody out. So what happened here that they were running up so close to the appointed time that they didn't leave?
They still had 40 minutes until the end. They had it until 11:30. This all happened at like 10:45. They had to book the venue till 11:30, and this happened around 10:50.
That makes it way worse.
Photo, it's this old guy with a gray beard. He's got a big yellow Florida button up, like one of those like Tommy Bahamas, and yeah. He is just gunning everyone's faces. Kind of just absolutely wild images.
I feel bad for the DJ too, to have all your equipment just destroyed. That's expensive equipment, and you're just doing what you got contracted to do. That's not on him that he needs to turn it down or turn it off.
And that shit is expensive. My dad, when I was growing up, would DJ on the weekends to make extra money. And he,
really?
yes, all the time. And he would
DJ Joe, that's what they call him.
Time out. Have you ever told us that? Maybe you have, and I just don't remember.
I don't remember that either.
But what kind of events would he DJ?
Weddings. He was a wedding DJ. He did weddings and big, and he MC'd. He was like an MC and did weddings. And he had but the equipment was so expensive. DJ Tom Barrett is who I remember. We would have to go over to Tom's house, get all the equipment. I think my dad paid him a small fee to borrow because it's so expensive, shit. And then he would keep it. He would set it all up in our garage sometimes before he had to return it. And so it was like when Titanic came out. So I'd be rollerblading in the garage with the mic, singing My Heart Will Go On. And like,
yeah, but that's I got to play DJ. We poo-poo it now. But if you have a microphone, it doesn't matter what you're doing as a kid. It doesn't have to be corded. It doesn't have to be plugged into anything. You have a microphone, buddy, you turn into a Grammy Award winner.
Oh, Or you're yelling out the garage, telling the whole neighborhood your brother has diarrhea. And he's got, so anyway.
Or you're just brandishing a weapon, like at the party.
But I just thought of that, especially like, I've been to some crazy Marine weddings. I was at one in Pennsylvania where people just had guns in their back pockets, just firing them up in the air after midnight. Like, shoot, I've been at a Marine wedding in Vegas right across from Thunder from Down Under. They got divorced like a month later. We went boozing on the strip afterwards. All kinds of crazy shit happened. But that's the night I wound up on Journey's tour bus, not the main tour bus, but the electrician's tour bus, the groupie's tour bus.
Hey, that's close enough.
That's the worst qualifier I think of. Anyone I know where you say not only was I on Journey's bus, but
it wasn't
the main groupie bus,
and Journey's not even the same group anymore. Anyway, I just wanted to I love a crazy wedding story. I'm just a sucker for it. So
same. All right, let's move on to round number two.
Really quickly, most weddings you go to, and I'll even put mine in that category, like they're all fun. And they're memorable because it was a fun time. But by and large, nothing like wild or crazy happens. So I might look at it like, hey, remember that wedding we went to where the dude showed up with a gun? Kind of makes it yours a little.
Nobody got shot. That's huge. Like, nobody getting shot is huge and making fun of it. Actually, because nobody got shot, I'm going to move mine to 3 years. On the third anniversary, you could do it.
That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you're right, because no one got shot, but that's
shot five. You get an extra 2 years for shot.
I will say too, though, if you want excitement, you could book a wedding. You know, maybe you could. Maybe Con's 5 years from
fake
now.
That. What if you fake it?
So that people never forget, because wedding receptions become the same thing.
That's what I'm saying. You really need to have something special for your wedding to stand out these days.
Oh, you know, the worst one, my cousins in South Jersey at their wedding. When everyone was on the dance floor, thieves came into the back room where all the bridesmaids, groomsmen, and bride and groom had put their stuff, stole everything. And the bride and groom were leaving the next day for their honeymoon. They couldn't go because they got their passports and IDs taken.
Oh, that's
to me. That's worse than having a gun brandish at your wedding. Honeymoon ruined and all that. That's way worse.
Made the news. It was a whole pickle. It's a whole thing. Anyway, that's Wedding Chat with Kate. I just got taken away by it. Now, round number two, much more serious story.
Introducing High Noon's all-new Vodka Iced Tea. It's time to finally ditch those sugary malt-based teas and try High Noon Vodka Iced Tea made with real vodka, real iced tea. It's non-carbonated with no added sugar and 90 calories. High Noon Vodka Iced Tea is great for any occasion under the sun. Comes in four delicious flavors you gotta try. Original, peach, lemon, and raspberry. Visit highnoonspirits.com to find a pack near you.
Also involving guns, but in a much more noble way. Great transition, Kate. But this comes to us from, I believe this was Stars and Stripes. Nearly 60 years after a retired Green Beret boldly engaged enemy troops and rescued several wounded soldiers amid a bloody fight during the Vietnam War, Army Colonel Paris Davis received the Medal of Honor. Davis, now 83, was commander in the 5th Special Forces Group in 1965 when his unit came under almost constant enemy fire for hours near Vietnam's southeastern coast. They had just carried out a pre-dawn raid, and as the sun came up, they were under full enemy attack, constant barrage of bullets and artillery. One by one, every single soldier in Davis's unit gets hit by enemy fire, and they're laid out across this rice paddy. They're in the woods, they're in the rice paddy, they're everywhere. Without air support, and because he was the last soldier in his unit standing, Davis said it was his duty to find all the men and get them to medical helicopters. And in this, my mind just went to that scene of Forrest Gump.
Yeah, I was like, basically, exactly. I think the exact same thing as you're describing that. The
Forrest, I'm like, that's
running back in.
Whoever wrote that scene must have known Colonel Paris's story, because Paris Davis' story. It took several attempts for Davis to reach the wounded troops, constantly dodging enemy fire. As he ducked in and out of cover, Davis was shot in the arm and the leg, but the wounds didn't deter him. He said it wasn't the Green Beret way. Once Davis...
Well, now Davis, I feel like a huge pussy. That's not what I did at all. I went under
when you got shot.
I went under the stairs and tied my arm up.
To each their own. To each their own. Once Davis... Well, you weren't a Green Beret.
True, but I was with Recon.
Well, okay. Well, yikes. Well, then.
Yeah, problematic.
Once Davis managed to get the wounded men to the rescue helicopter, his colonel ordered him to get on the chopper as well. Like, this was his chance out. People, but there was one soldier left, his medic, and he said, "Sir, I'm just not going to leave. I still have an American out there." So that copter takes off. Davis got back to the frightened, wounded medic. I was thinking about this, too. You're wounded. You're laying in a rice paddy. Wounded so severely you can't move. There's gunfire going everywhere. You see a helicopter landing, you hear it maybe somewhere, and you hear it taking off, and you think, oh my god, like, all hope
is gone. And you know what's been going on and how they've been treating prisoners of war. You're getting all that information because they're telling you to stay with your platoon, don't get lost or anything like that.
Yep.
I bet, and laying there, you're like, even if I survive, they might put me in a POW camp or something like that. It's gotta be terrifying.
I picture what was going through that soldier's, that medic's mind, and all of a sudden seeing Davis, seeing your commander roll up and come next to you. Davis got back to the frightened, wounded medic, who asked Davis if he was going to die. Davis said his answer was brief and firm: "Not before me." So he's like, "I'm not leaving you no matter what. We're going to die together, buddy. Man, you're not going to die alone." Yeah. "Not before me." After almost 20 hours of fighting, Davis,
wow.
Yes, which, if you know how exhausting 1 hour, 30 minutes of a firefight is, exhausting mentally, physically.
30 minutes feels like a whole day.
Yep. After almost 20 hours of fighting, Davis had rescued every single wounded American soldier. The idea of Davis getting the Medal of Honor was first mentioned by his comrades that day. Everybody was like, Medal of Honor for Davis. One Medal of Honor, please, for Davis.
Right.
But it would take decades for the honor to happen. And Chaps, I know you've talked about this before, the paperwork process and the bureaucracy behind, like, that there should be so many more medals and awards out there. There used to be, if you look at how many Medal of Honors there used to be compared to, it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. Two times, his nominating paperwork, a package that documents the recipient's worthiness for the award and includes interviews with everyone involved. And it's like a deep investigation. Two times that package got lost at the Pentagon somewhere.
Does it say when that was, Kate? Is that in the article? I wish it was.
No.
Because that's a little coincidental.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, the first black guy to get it, and
get the Medal of Honor, right. But to one of the first black special forces. Yeah.
Right. But even in that like vein, it seems a little on the nose, right? Like maybe it wasn't, but if that
it wouldn't surprise 70s, me.
Early 80s, I could see it.
Yeah, it wouldn't be. At this point, and everything we know, it wouldn't be shocking.
He got out of the military in 85, so I have to imagine the first time was maybe soon thereafter in 1965 when the incident happened, and then maybe again somewhere in the 80s and early 90s. So, unfortunately, I have to imagine it's possible. Because also, once, okay, maybe somebody misplaced it. Twice?
Right.
I don't know.
It's and crazy. It's hard. Right. Like, we've talked about the process for the Medal of Honor. One thing that makes it hard for stories like that is that it has to have two corroborations in order for the Medal of Honor to go through. You have to have two witness statements that they saw you in grave danger and that you rescued people. So having that whole story where two people saw the exact thing at the exact time and getting that story in is very difficult. That's why Peralta's took so long.
Right. And this, I mean, he had a whole unit vouching for him with the same story, right. And it's still twice it got lost. So you're right.
And Groberg went through the same thing.
Yeah.
So did Dakota.
So that, though, he does this heroic rescue in 1965. He stays in the military and he leaves military service as a colonel in 1985. And he goes on to publish a small newspaper, the Metro Herald, in his home state of Virginia, where he still lives. He also earned two master's degrees and his doctorate after he got out. And he's just living this quiet life. But the people who served with him could not forget what he had done. And even though this paperwork and everything got lost twice, it got brought up again and they just couldn't let it go. Several soldiers who served with him were like, we got to get traction going on this again. And they did. And finally, he got his due. He's one of the first black soldiers in the Army Special Forces. Davis earned his airborne and ranger qualifications in the 60s, Special Forces in 1962, two tours in Vietnam, Silver Star, Bronze Star with a V, Purple Heart, Bronze Oakley Cluster, Air Medal with a V, and he's in the Ranger.
That cluster goes with the Purple Heart?
A Purple Heart with a Bronze Oak Leaf Cluster. Yeah. And yeah, the Air Medal with a V, he was inducted into the Ranger Hall of Fame in 2019. And finally, at age 83, gets the receives the Medal of Honor. So I just think,
Chaps, what does it mean when somebody has an oak leaf cluster on one of their awards?
One more. For us, it's another one. So if you have a Purple Heart with a cluster, it's two. You have two Purple Hearts.
Yeah. So Army Colonel Paris Davis, just an absolutely incredible.
You know what makes me sad about those stories, besides that it took so long, is that colonel deserved to wear that for the last 50 years of his life. Mm-hmm. The difference that his life would be if he got what his just due was, and I'm sure that he would say, I didn't care about that anything, but it changes your life.
Absolutely.
And the level of respect, he deserved that for the last 50 years. And he was robbed of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing I will say, if you notice in the picture, as is often when older soldiers, once they've retired many years, they will wear their uniform back to receive the award. Now, when he got out of the military in 1985, the Army's uniform was very different. So the Army very clearly had to have outfitted him with this brand new uniform. And I just thought that was a nice touch that they gave him a brand new uniform with all the proper decorations for this ceremony so that he could receive it with, you know, some pride, as opposed to just wearing a suit like any old civilian.
I'm going to take a quick second. The VA is calling me and I feel like.
Okay. And also with that story, Cons, I think you're exactly right. I lost my train of thought for a second. Let's see if it comes back. No, it left. But it was about the colonel again. Oh, I imagine if he was doing that type of fitting, you know, like it, when you go into initial training, when you go to West Point, you get measured for all of your different things.
Yeah.
Imagine being 60 years, 50 years removed, and you're getting put in the new uniform. You have all your ribbons and medals that you haven't worn in probably close to 60 years. That's got to be an unreal feeling. And knowing what you're getting fitted for, like the reason why you're getting fitted.
Yeah, for everybody around him too. They're like, oh, this is the gentleman that they're awarding the Medal of Honor. This is why he's, you know, elderly and retired, but we're fitting him for a uniform. It's a very special. I just thought it was nice that the Army thought of that. That, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not even sure that that would be something on their radar, but they thought of that and they did that for him. And he looked so sharp receiving the medal with the uniform that he was wearing.
He looked like he was in height and weight standards still.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably could kick all of our asses.
Yeah.
Right.
So major salute to Army Colonel Paris Davis. Well deserved.
And before we get into save rounds and alibis, I want to ask everybody, one, register with the VA. It's hugely important that you register with the VA, like Kate was saying. And two, find a VFW in your area because they need some fresh blood. Yeah. And it will, the sense of tribe that we talk about a lot, your tribe sense, whenever you're with people from not just this generation, but other generations, you realize where you're going to be in the future. Because in 20, 30 years, it's going to be us three that are walking in here with our VFW hats, and people are going to look back like we do at Vietnam or the Korean War and World War II. And eventually people will look at that of what we accomplished and what we did. And that's pretty humbling to realize when you're standing with all those legends.
Very true.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
All right, let's move on to save rounds on alibis.
Yeah, I have a couple quick things. My little news. Well, I guess it's more of my news round.
Oh, news round. Yeah.
Yeah, a little Katie news roundup. I'll keep it quick. Air Force is allowing hand and neck tattoos again. Beards are still out, though. The policy allows for little tiny 1-inch tattoos along the hands and the back of the neck. You can't have them in the front still, unfortunately. They were previously banned.
Tattoos save it, right?
I know. I know.
It's like a postage stamp.
Well, I was saying just get a barcode for your SIF gear on the back of your neck. And then just scan yourself in a little barcode.
The world's tiniest no-shave chip.
Yeah, and of course, there was a lot of people being like, well, there we go. Who are they trying to bring into the Air Force now? A bunch of woke, tattooed, goofball. It's like, everybody, shut up. It's not a big deal. Whatever.
Like, very clearly, we're hurting on recruiting numbers, so we're trying to relax some of these standards that ultimately won't determine how somebody is able to serve in the military.
Yeah.
I hope we just don't have to get, like, Russia and go in, like, the Wagner Group and go get convicted felons out of prison.
Yeah, we don't ever need to stoop that low.
Right.
Well, we kind of did. We've done that. Anyway, Army General Mark Milley, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, headed over to Syria this past week to hear from troops who are there how the fight's actually going against ISIS. This visit comes after a recent attack on base housing of American soldiers out there. Or not base housing, but bases where they're housed. There's no like officers' cute little village over there of U.S. whatever, but whatever. But it was a good reminder that we're still over there. Troops mm-hmm. are still doing stuff. And he said he considers it key to national security that we continue going after the leaders of ISIS and weeding them out. And then finally, I follow certain, there's like many celebrities of the veteran world, key mm-hmm. people who maybe stick out to me, who you guys might not have heard of, but who have big followings on TikTok or whatever, like veteran with a sign. He has a big veteran who's doing something cool. He's got a lot of followers kind of thing. And you follow these like mini veteran world celebs and see what they're up to. So one of them for me that I don't want to sound mean. You ever follow somebody that you don't love that you, it's like a hate follow mm-hmm. and then you go to your partner, your wife or your husband, your boyfriend. You're like, look at what this asshole's up to now. You know,
look at this piece of shit.
And it's like, why am I even following them? What's wrong with me? Like, that's a slight on me that I'm doing that. Whatever.
I'm surprised because Kate said she had a story about Kyle Carpenter. I had
no idea. No, it's not Kyle Carpenter. It's not Kyle Carpenter. Well, for a long time now, and I'm talking like, I want to say it's been like 8 or 9 years maybe that I've been following this person because they can't
kind of dedicated hate follow.
I know.
It really is.
Well, you just, you know, sometimes you forget to unfollow people too. And then you just keep seeing their trajectory over time. And so you keep following. That's whatever.
Oh yeah. You're nutso now. Yeah.
I've been following this Marine named, should I say the name? I don't know. It's popping off on veteran social media right now, this story. Savannah Glendon is her name. Have either of you heard of this person?
I have no idea.
No, and I am beyond shocked that you said the actual name.
Well, everybody is saying, let me tell you, if you sort it's big on Mill gossip right now, okay? She got out of the Marine Corps, and at first she had this hand, this like Instagram handle that was like fitness account, and she's this beautiful lady and blah, blah. And I was like, good for her. I was like, at first I was rooting her on. That's why I followed. I was like, hell yeah. I love seeing strong Marines out there doing cool shit after they get out. And she has started like this photography business. And I was like, oh, cool. It was out in Oceanside area where I used to live. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Rooting her on, used to like her stuff. But then over time, I started to get like the ick a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Certain posts just started giving me the ick where I was like,
and once you get it, you can't get rid of it.
I was like, I'm going to keep following, but I'm not loving some of this anymore. And then I started seeing stuff come out about all kinds of gossip that I won't get into, but I was seeing things that was giving me more and more of the ick.
How big of a following does she have? Not that really matters, but it kind of matters.
On TikTok, 1.1 million.
Okay. Oh, wow. So she's,
okay.
She's following. Okay.
She, and I think on her Instagram, it was almost similar. Like she became, and over the years she was growing and growing and growing and becoming, and the bigger she got, the more some of the things I was like, man, I got.
Well, that's what I was going to get at. Like, I think there's a correlation between the cringe of the posts and the amount of followers you have. I think there's a direct correlation. You start drinking your own Kool-Aid.
Her husband is also an active duty Marine, and she plays that up a lot and is always showing him in uniform and always still going back to her time in the Marine. Definitely was using the Marine Corps stuff for like mega likes. Like people eat that shit up. It's true.
Right.
I've been there.
Smart. But yeah, I mean, look at me. I'm still doing a podcast about it and 10 years later. But anyway, more and more I got the ick. And then she had a child around the same time I did. And little things here and there too were giving me that. I was like, man, I don't know. So then over the weekend, I hadn't thought about it.
What was
about
she doing as a mom that gave you the ick?
Well, we're about to get into it.
Oh.
Over the weekend, I see a tweet. I hadn't seen her stuff or come across, like, scrolled past her shit in a while. I hadn't even thought about her. Over the weekend, I see a tweet that says, pour one out for whatever Marine PAO had their weekend ruined because some morally void Marine and his equally terrible wife decided to saran wrap their baby and take a video while the dad was in uniform. And immediately, before she didn't mention the name, I was like, I know who the fuck this is. I know who did this for clout or for some weird shit. And lo and behold, I look in the comments and someone posted the video. They have their baby, who's like my son's, like maybe two, not even, wrapped from the neck, including the arms, down to the knees, tightly in saran wrap. He's in his Marine Corps uniform, has the saran wrap by the back of the neck, and is like rolling this toddler around on the bed. The toddler's face is red. It looks like they've been crying. Their cheeks are puffy. And the reason they posted it, they were like, he was getting into all our stuff and look at him now. He's like a little glowworm. Now he can't get into our stuff. Like it was supposed to be funny. Like they thought whatever. As soon as I saw it, I like wanted to throw up on my shoes.
Yeah.
And I was like, who the fuck? Like I post my son sometimes, but I don't post him having tantrums. I don't post him like taking
right.
a dump.
Because
I don't
you're
post
normal.
Vulnerable yeah. moments of him. And I'm very careful about like when he's old, he gets to craft his own social media life if he wants one at all. And so I'm trying to be more, especially as he gets older, more conscious of that. Like who the fuck? You can't play a prank on a toddler. You can't, but like.
And what? Who wants to? Like I.
Yeah.
You have kids, the last thing you want them to be is uncomfortable or crying because they're in pain.
But I think with these people, when you're so desperate for likes and attention, you're willing to go to extreme lengths. And I think, I mean, to be able to do this, your judgment is already in the
and cons, you saw it. How wrapped was that kid?
I mean, it was dangerous how tightly
yes.
that young boy was wrapped.
And the worst part was he's in full Marine Corps green camo. Like rolling the kid around on the bed. Well, immediately a ton of people called CPS and were like, hey, hello, blah, blah, blah. Their son gets taken by CPS.
Rightfully so.
The first thing she does is get back on TikTok and make a big sobbing video. If my son got taken by CPS,
I would never come back on social media again.
Buddy, you would never see me again. You would never see me again. Now somebody's going to do it to me just so they don't have to listen to me on this show anymore. But
they're going to take cash and wrap him up. And
no, they're going to call CPS on Kate. You're like, ah, I really don't like that, Kate. Let me call CPS. She said she'll never come back.
She gets on TikTok and she's sobbing, crying. And I would be, if my kid got, oh my God. She's like, we just did it as a joke because he kept trying to get into the oven and he kept trying to put a fork in the outlet. And, you know, and so we just thought it'd be funny to show like kids get into everything. Like, bitch, no.
You know how put him in
his initiative, bad judgment. Big
put him in his playpen and like put a little sign that says like kitty jail or something.
And the worst
almost
part, like,
anything
I feel...
except for saran wrapping.
Yeah.
Almost anything.
Yeah. Now, a newest update. She posted another update of him, her holding him in the yard, looking at the sunset. They got him back. And, you know, and I'm like, I wouldn't post that shit either. Like, what the fuck is wrong?
Hey, guys, I just got my kid back from CPS.
What? Like, what?
This and is it's deplorable. Like, you know,
so obviously CPS feels like it was a safe enough that they could send him back. And like, but ultimately, and like, I get your social media influencers and maybe you made you're great parents and you made a dumb mistake, but that, especially with the Marine Corps uniform, was a dumb I mean obviously most of all, especially with the child, but right. Secondly, in the Marine Corps uniform, thinking that, like, what warped Instagram? Anyways, that was a long Katie news roundup. This is a personal Katie news roundup, and maybe I shouldn't have said her name, but it's just everywhere. I'm seeing it everywhere.
People would have.
And I love the fact that, well, I don't love it, but it's one other aspect of this story. When that kid goes up, he's going to Google his name or whatever, and that's going to be like the top thing about his parents. Imagine being like Cons, you go cruising around old Google and you see, oh shit, when I was 2 years old, my parents hurt me to the point where I couldn't breathe and my face was red for internet likes. Your kids are going to know eventually. Like, well, that's why I stopped talking about Cardi in like weird ways and Kelsey. Because they know they're real people.
Yeah, they're real people. And it's just great. Like, I see these YouTube families on TikTok now. Like, there's fun mom talk with cool parenting stuff. And you show, like, fun little clips of the kids, whatever. But then there's the TikTok parents that, like, they're making the kids do all this dumb shit for what? Like, stop it, man. Fucking stop it. Anyways.
Yeah, that whole subset of TikTok and social media where these parent influencers use their kids for their influencing business. That's a dicey set of individuals from my perspective.
But
I'm glad Podfathers got canceled.
You know who has to be relieved right now, though, because this is the new hot military TikTok. Everybody's shitting on it. She's a Marine. He's a Marine lady.
Oh, yeah.
She's got to be relieved right now.
But you can't do a meme of a baby being hurt.
No, that's true. But anyway, obviously... I feel weird even telling the story because obviously the child is okay now and has returned to his parents and like what, and hopefully they learn their lesson and like never do shit like that again. And, but I just thought that was crazy. And I'm just sharing it because we're a military pod and that's the military buzz that's hot in the streets right now. So,
yeah. And we always say we want the military tea. That's big time tea. Take a sip right there, Katie. All right. Let's move on to some save rounds and alibis. All right. Let's move on to some save rounds and alibis. Kate, we'll start with you.
I went to the VA. I love my primary care doctor at the VA. I gotta say, I don't go as often as I should, but she is the fucking best. I roll up with my notes app with my like 17 weird ailments I've been experiencing.
I think that's important though, that you come prepared and you're not just like, hey, doc, figure it out. You're providing her information.
Then you go home, you're like, oh shit.
Yeah, she never makes me feel weird. Guys, I've got weird stuff going on.
Banana-induced pink eye.
I haven't breastfed in well over a year. Those suckers still got juice in them, man. That's TMI, but that's the truth.
No, I think that's good information.
Human body.
No,
she's like, how did you find that out then? I'm like, every now and then in the shower, I just give them a yoink and shit comes out. She's like, okay, let's get you some blood work. Anyways, I'm very excited to see if they figure out why I'm cold. I got a bunch of thyroid testing and some other stuff done. And maybe my
boobs
are weird.
The milk thing is fascinating, Kate. On that fast. It's just fascinating.
It really is. Because I barely I barely made any when he was breastfeeding. I had to use formula for the most part, and now they want to be acting up.
Can I ask a question? As somebody who is going to be experiencing all of this very soon, albeit from a distance, I'm not actually the one breastfeeding or providing the formula. Like, is there definitive research? I'm sure there is. I know there is. But do either of you have a feeling on breastfed versus formula?
I think it's the Fed is best is what I fully believe. Whatever's best for the mom's mental health.
Yeah.
And whatever. Like, sure, yes, it's proven that breast milk is great, blah, blah, blah. But they looked at babies who did formula and breast milk down the line as adults, and they're like, you can't tell a fucking difference, man.
That's what I'm saying.
So,
right?
Yeah. I think if you can, but realistically, especially if you're a working mom, like all the, and I just never figured it out. Like, it never just came naturally to me. So yeah, I think Fed is best is my, well, so my take.
You got your own office, Kate.
Yeah, that's true. That was a nice way to get your own office out of it. But I think that's the other thing too, is that there's a lot more to it than just like, hey, you know, attaching the kid and it just happens, right?
I couldn't even figure out how to hold. I was Googling photos of women breastfeeding and trying to rep to mirror what they were doing because we were like two puzzle pieces that didn't fit. So anyway, boobies are weird is the moral of that story.
All right.
All right, so your boobs are weird. Anything else at the VA?
No, I just really love, I feel like you have this expectation in your head because there's so much shit talk and blah, blah, blah. And to go and feel truly cared for and listened to, like, nothing I say is too weird to her. She's like, lady, I've seen it all. You can't, whatever. I'm my butthole's been doing this thing. She's like, plop on back, man. Let's check out the undercarriage.
Let's see what spoke is acting up.
Yeah. She's just, I don't know. I've actually feel like I've never had that before. Especially as someone who's, so it just feels really good to go there and know, I don't know. It's good care. That's all I could say. I like it.
That is good. Appreciate anything it. Else?
No, that's it. If you haven't gone, I've been encouraging people on Twitter lately who are like, I got out, but I never registered. I'm like, register with the VA, dude. Mm-hmm. Go get the care that you deserve. Even if you have health insurance through work, it's still cheaper to do a lot of shit through the VA, man. No copay. You earned it. You earned it. So anyway, just a little something. If I can figure it out, anybody can. So,
Cons, what about you?
Yeah. Sorry about that motorcycle that's going by just now. Uh-oh, did we lose Chaps?
We did. But that's okay. Let's keep rolling.
All right. Well, RIP in peace to Tom Sizemore. Did you see that he passed away at 61?
I did. Yes.
Yeah. Kind of a bummer. You know, some really prominent roles in like Saving Private Ryan, Black Hawk Down. And I pose this, which I thought was interesting. You know, in Saving Private Ryan, he plays this like real grizzly NCO who advises Tom Hanks. But then in Black Hawk Down, he played a lieutenant colonel battalion commander. And I don't think just anybody can do that, where you take on the persona of an enlisted leader versus an officer. And I thought he did a good job with that. So I was sad to see, especially he was only 61. Really, really bummer.
Rest in peace.
Yes. And then, Chaps, I had a question for you because you tweeted something and I honestly had no idea. I couldn't make heads or tails of it. I think I understand what you meant by it, but I want to ask. You tweeted, I've reached the age where I'm no longer allowed to put my dress outfits together. What does that mean? Like, you're not allowed to dress yourself? Usually, like, that's something.
No, I'm not, Cons. I'm not. You've seen my sense of style, and it's not great whenever it's formalized. So I have gotten to the point, one, I'm smart enough now after being married for 14 years that I know if it's not important to me, it's not a battle worth fighting. So if I'm wearing a jacket or something like that I don't really care for, I don't care. As long as I go home and she's happy and not like, oh, you look bad or you should have wore this. That's the reason why. So I've gotten to the point where I'm like, you just pick and I'll put it on.
Mm-hmm. So basically your wife packed for you all week this week and told you like this.
Oh yeah, she does a lot. Yeah. And it's not because like a traditional, she just knows I'll look like shit if she doesn't.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Well, maybe we can reframe that as you just, you know, your strengths, you know, your areas where you could use some help and you're not too, or maybe we could say you're mature enough to know the difference and know when to ask for help. So I respect that.
There you go.
All right.
All right. That's all I got.
Okay. Again, I'm very excited to be here in DC. Looking forward to what we can accomplish here. It'll be great. I don't know what it is, but it's great. And it's just, as again, it's great just to be around veterans. And I'll be honest, a lot of times I was the young one in the old group, but last night I was sitting around I was having a couple beers and a Korean War veteran came up and was talking to me for a while. And then I met a couple of Vietnam vets and some people that were like just all over. It was great. As a, yeah. I've talked about it enough, but well, that's it. I'll be back on Thursday. Hopefully we'll have the Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps interview done. Maybe Monday though. Either way, look forward to it because I was nervous as shit. Dumb.